hopefully this is the last day on light. But one of the things that I didn't talk about is what essence, what is the light? Light is, what we call light or visible light, is part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And it's frequencies that go from the radio waves all the way up to gamma rays. And if the spectrum that we know about, there may be more that we don't even know about yet, but the spectrum that we know about, if it were a yardstick, the visible light, the visible part of the spectrum for which our eyes are made, would see about 1/16th of an inch out of that total spectrum. Now, bees, birds, they see different than we do. They see a different portion of the spectrum, depending on bees see a portion of the spectrum that lets them detect the pollen in the flowers to see which flowers have. So they see that. Birds see a different part of the spectrum. All animals see a different part of the spectrum, I think, than we do. But just stop a minute and think of this, that if the light spectrum, I mean, if the electromagnetic spectrum is is a yard long and wide, and we only see 1/16th of an inch, then that is kind of the difference between what the light, the created light of God. That's why I forgot to talk about this when I was talking about the northern lights, because that's another aspect of the visible or the electromagnetic spectrum. But if we could see the from radio waves to gamma waves, what would the world look like? I remember when I was a kid that I was just fascinated by this. And I remember asking, these are some of the questions I asked when I was expelled from catechism class. It says God is light, and then I remembered the spectrum. And I said, well, what part of it?
You were asking questions for teachers and then answers for them. That's what happened to you.
Right.
You were too damn smart.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't any smarter. It's just I saw differently. But I want you to remember, does anybody remember that the first time you learned to tie your shoelaces?
Yeah.
I have a very specific memory of it for some reason. It was a big, big deal. I was probably, I don't know, three or four years old. I don't know what I was. But stop and think about everything that you know how to do, you had to be taught. Remember obviously I don't remember the first words, but normally they're mama or papa. More normally mama. And then you start associating these different names with things. And very quickly you see that if you say a certain word in a certain way, that you get stuff. And so this whole idea of becoming a con artist is the first time you're entering the terrible twos is really true. And all of the words that you learn, they're just sounds that we've had a conspiratorial alliance among the society that sound will mean that. And these certain scribbles on the paper, those scribbles will mean that sound. And so it's the amount of time it took us to learn this is endless. I want you to imagine your brain for a minute. I remember seeing this in terms of what the neurons look like, the familiar brain paths that your neurons have taken when you learn something. And the best way to describe it, it looks like a hunk of steel wool. It's just everything is intertwined, or really messed up spaghetti.
Yeah.
And so it's like a...
How does it work? It's
almost...
How can it work?
What?
Oh, I'm just kidding. I said, how can it work if it looks like that?
Well, it works because the neuron paths for certain things become dominant. So that pathway is the path of least resistance. And that's the reason that the neurons work as they do, and you're able to do things and remember things. But it's complexity beyond complexity. And this is why this incredible thing about faith has to destroy that. In one of the Psalms of Ascent, let's remember John rewrote it in a wonderful way. He said, the only security are lessons unlearned, and the only reward is a gift unearned. And so the whole idea of what let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, is a humongous deal. You have to sort of empty to the point where the only guidance point is that pineal body in the center of your brain. So that channel of all of those familiar neurons and pathways that probably looks like spaghetti mixed up with, you know, if you try to wash a spaghetti pan with steel wool, then you'd have, then that's probably a better way of looking at it. Your mind, it's an incredible thing. But it's not doing what it's supposed to do from God's standpoint. You can sit and worship your mind, is what most of us do. Worship simply means give it importance. Well, now we got to worship something else. Let's go to Genesis 22, I think. Is this making sense to anybody?
I was just turning that last sentence around. It's not like you worship your mind. I don't remember ever worshiping my mind.
I do.
But I use my mind to worship it.
Like, yeah, but I thought I was the smartest person in the world.
Yeah. Is there a costume for that?
Yes, the stupid one.
Where did we go?
Genesis
22.
Let's maybe search.
Right. So you were using your mind to worship your mind.
That's Genesis 32. I was right. Let's stay 22. This is why in all ancient cultures that I'm aware of, the mind was always symbolized by a snake. Because if anybody has watched a snake, I mean, it's a constant moving, and it's really doing everything to try to get an advantage. And that's what our minds do.
Calculating.
I remember one of the first cliches that I remember, I don't know if I invented it or not, but it was don't calculate without God. Well, that sounded, you know, then I said, well, that doesn't mean anything.
There it is.
And then I said, don't calculate at all. But we, you know, I've talked to many, many times about this thing about the mind of Christ is a total emptying, and that's what changes the environment. You create a low pressure zone that actually literally changes your environment. And if 12 people do it, turn the world upside down. But that's what the mind of Christ is. It's that emptying. But let's talk about, let's go to, in verse 24 of chapter 32. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, the reason I'm studying this is because last night and this morning, it seemed like my hip was out of joint. Every time I stepped, I almost fell, and I remembered this thing about Jacob. Anyway. And he said, Jacob said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, that's what the angel said. And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." That's what Jacob said. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And again, if you look and study, that's the first time that Jacob used his name. Because he's confessing that he's the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, the way of the snake. That's what Jacob means, the word. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed them there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Now, the word Peniel, or Peniel, means the face of God. That's the literal meaning of the Hebrew word Peniel. And it's that he saw God, but he was preserved, but he was a different person. He died, if you will, as Jacob, and was reborn as Israel. Now, as you all, we've studied this many times, when I was studying biology and anatomy when I was a kid, there were supposedly 16 vestigial organs or vestigial bodies in your body, and it proved evolution. And the vestigial means no longer having a purpose, but there anyway. So among the vestigial bodies or things was fingernails, the nictitating membrane in your eye. And the pineal. They didn't call it a pineal gland then, they called it a pineal body because they didn't think it had any purpose. It was not active. And now they've discovered that it is active and it produces melanin and some other things. But I believe that that's the communication point between God and man. But it has to become the dominant. And the only way that is becoming the dominant is by repentance. By emptying yourself of all other things, by unlearning everything else. And then that becomes the guidance system, the cloud, if you will. The command of God is what God called the cloud. So you never have, if there's more than one option, you do nothing. You wait. Now this is why this mind of Christ is so important. This is what happened. All that mix-up between spaghetti and steel wall in Jesus Christ was buried when he was baptized because he had pushed all the limits of his mind to see that, in fact, it's vanity of vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's all empty, all purposeless. Now, What does all this have to do with light? Because it says he is both the light and the life. He is your guidance. He is your salvation. He is your everything. But you cannot continue to use the familiar nerve paths, neuron paths, and expect that God will guide you. You can say God's guiding you. If you listen to the televangelists, man, they talk with Jesus every day. They're lying through their teeth. If you hear them, they've gone to heaven and sat down and had discussions with Jesus. And they saw their little puppy and their grandma there. That's just comic book theology. And they always have an instruction, especially Murdoch. God told me, God himself told me that if you send in $156, blah, 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 blah. But the light, well, let's look at the symbols. That's what we'll stop there. Let's look at the symbols. Can't bless him as Jacob.
Without that confession, and apparently I guess Jacob knew what that name meant. Maybe I don't
of course
know.
He did. He spoke Hebrew.
Okay, so he knew he was the way of the snake. Strange kind of the world. But it was identity. It was like all that he was. And then in a word, he says, you'll no longer be called that, but you'll be called
Yeah.
So the entire story,
everything is gone.
Yeah, I mean, it was just night and day.
That's what born again means.
And that's it. Yeah, that's salvation right there.
Yeah, restructured his brain.
Yeah.
Well, you just the brain, your use of your mind in the familiar ways, it becomes the vestigial organ. Mm-hmm. Because you don't, if you stop using it, then the nerve paths collapse.
And then you take everything you explain about light and all that, and it's like it then moves to where you walk in faith, trusting in things you don't understand, you don't see.
If you don't understand it, you don't try to figure it out. You repent.
And you trust.
But
you can't trust if you don't repent.
Right, because without reckoning, again, repentance meaning reckoning your death. Reckoning the uselessness of this thing, all that is encompassed in repentance. And again, we've got to say, you know, if there's things that you're doing and you don't see any other way to do it, then that give that to God. You know, I think I understand this, Father, but I don't know what else to do. But I give it to you. So that there's never any in you, there's never the slightest moment of self-justification. And it just makes life simple. There's no more identity crisis, who you are. Well, the light in the scriptures, it symbolizes a lot of things. Let's go, the one we're familiar with very carefully is Matthew 6. Let's go there real quick. Just so you get these symbols in your mind. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. So the symbol it's obvious. The light of the body is the eye, and et cetera, et cetera. Then I be single, my whole body is full of light. But if your eye be evil, even the light that's in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? All right, then it symbolizes watchfulness. Okay, let's go. No, let's wait, because that one's going to take us, because that's the ten virgins. It symbolizes protection. Let's go to Romans 13. We're going to have to spend another day on light. Verse 11, and knowing the time that now is, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed, or when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So armor is never used except for protection. So somehow light becomes your protection, the armor of light. The way it becomes your protection is because discernment becomes as natural as breathing. You can see in the countenance of people what's going on. You don't have to worry about what somebody's thinking. But it's the armor of light. That's kind of a big deal. Cast off the works of darkness, which is everything your mind does, and put on the armor of light. But isn't it nice to hold and keep all those opinions and judgments? Man, because you can put on your own, you can be right about something in your own mind. Better than that person. No, you're not. All right, then protection now is the garment. Let's go to Colossians. Verse chapter 1. Well, let's just start in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us or transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear son or the son of his love. Well, let's look at one more and then we'll save the virgins. We'll look at two more. Go to Revelation 21. Verse 22. He's talking about this revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and his Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What an incredible series of words. There's no temple for the Father and the Lamb or the temple thereof. No need of the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. All right, one more. 2 Peter. 1. Let's start in verse 12. This is, remember, this is the last thing that Peter wrote just before he was beheaded. He was beheaded.
Peter was, I thought he was.
Oh, it's crucified upside down. That's right. Never mind. Paul was beheaded. I get those guys mixed up. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, the word they use there is Exodus. After my exodus, to have these things always in remembrance, not forgetting them as soon as you walk out the door. No, it doesn't say that. I just added that. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. We can't even imagine what that would be like. But it says now we have a more sure word of prophecy. What is the more sure word? The more sure word is Christ in us. The fullness of the Son. He cannot violate your will. He won't go beyond where you let him go. He will not occupy any place in you as the temple where you are. Is that clear? Any of you, any part of you, any part of that mishmash that we discussed earlier, miasma, called your brain.
As much as we hate it, there are is so much evidence that our brain needs to be replaced by his brain. Let this mind be in you.
His mind, not our brain. I'm sure I should have used the word mind.
Yeah.
Wherefore also, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. A more sure word of prophecy. This light may be shining in darkness right now, but let that light so permeate you that there's nothing else. What's your response?
This goes back to the armor of light. And I thought about that. How armor is a weapon, and yet we're not talking about carnal issues. And so the light itself just absorbs or dissipates darkness, so it has no effect.
I think of the internal light, meaning you live life unconditionally.
Well, the secret is you don't live at all.
Right. I guess unconditionally mean cause and effect. However, that can be destroyed.
Everything. It's destroyed by ignoring it, then it just withers away. That's why the trial of faith is always waiting.
Peace and joy and serenity has no conditions.
All right, anybody else? Well, we got one more thing to study on light, and that's the parable of the 10 virgins, but that's going to take a while, so, because there's so much in that parable. All right, take a big guy.